Hello, and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've been immobile for a few days.
Oh dear.
I think, according to the doctor anyway, gout. Very bad gout.
Oh no, that's not good.
I've got to give up the port.
You've got to give up the port?
Port and red meat, isn't that what they say? You know, it's all that fine dining that I do, Ben.
I'm stunned. I didn't know you had this secret side life of a billionaire who eats out at expensive restaurants.
I think I've got poor man's gout, whatever that might be. Oh, I genuinely couldn't walk much it took me about 10 minutes to get up and down the stairs in the house. I was in so much pain, right? So I phoned the doctor and he says, I think you've got gout, Mr. Smith. And I said, well, I've had gout before. It doesn't feel like gout to me. He said, no. I don't know how they can tell by not looking these days, but they're very clever. He said, no, you've definitely got gout, Mr. Smith. But we will do some blood tests just to check. So I managed to hobble round to the doctor's for a blood test.
Can I ask, did it take you as long to get down the stairs as it did to get up? Because I would have reverted to childhood and slid down the stairs on my bum.
Yeah, I didn't think of doing that because, to be honest, I'm not sure that once I got down to a certain level, I would have been able to get up again. So I might have just found myself halfway up the stairs, like Robin.
Kermit the Frog's nephew or whatever he was.
Yeah, and I would have had to maybe phone someone and say, can you come? I'm stuck halfway up the stairs. And I think that would have been quite an embarrassing moment.
No, I mean, to be honest, mate, I would rather you call me for help, albeit slightly embarrassing, than finding your corpse halfway up the stairs in 6 months' time.
Have you ever been in a position where you've found yourself trapped somewhere and you've got no way of contacting anybody? It's happened to me a couple of times when I was decorating my toilet. I'd taken the handle off the door, and as I was painting it, I managed to push the door shut. And I didn't have my phone with me.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, I'm actually now trapped. This is where it could end for me. You know, days and weeks trapped in a toilet as I gradually fade away. But luckily, I managed to jimmy the door open with a screwdriver. But I did panic for probably about the first 5 minutes because I was genuinely thinking, am I going to have to open the window and shout out across the gardens in the hope that somebody hears me? And then when they do and the police come and break down the door and they say, so what happened? What happened, Mr. Smith? I took the handles off the door and shut it. You fucking moron. Fucking idiot.
I'm not trying to sound like a big sort of macho man or anything, but you and me are fairly big human beings. I'm fairly sure that I could put my weight through a door if I needed to.
I don't think you could. A big, you know, proper inside pine, solid pine doors. And also when you're going against the direction in which the door opens.
You honestly think you couldn't smash a door if its hinges if you had to?
I think if I really had to, but I think it would be really difficult to do it against the way the door opens.
Well, certainly not with your gouty foot either.
Obviously not. If I'd had gout at the same time, I'd have been fucked. That would have been the end of it.
So, okay, I'm going to force your hand here. Which one would you rather pick? Halfway up the stairs because you were too, what's the word, too prideful to call me for help, or stuck in the toilet because you locked yourself in there after removing the door handle?
Well, I think halfway up the stairs is the better option.
Once accidentally entomb myself. I was at work many years ago I think I was in Wallington, and I had my van parked on the pavement in the high street, and I left my phone in the sort of front cabin of the van. So again, lack of phone, can't call for help, no flashlight. And I went into the van to crawl around to look for something, and the door closed behind me and automatically locked. And it was nighttime, so there was no peak of daylight anywhere. I was stuck in the back of a locked van thinking, well, this is how I go out. And eventually, after scrabbling around amongst the detritus in the back of the van, I eventually found the manual release catch for the back door and got myself out. But I wasn't sure that manual release existed. I was just hoping and fortunately, I found it.
Well, that would suggest that the training wasn't that good. Because if it's there, surely that's one of the things they point out to you day one. If you get stuck in, there's a manual release there. You can find it easy. If you're not sure it's there, that would indicate a gap in the training, surely.
Well, so that's probably good advice for anyone listening. If you're ever finding yourself stuck in the back of a Mercedes Sprinter, there is a release catch. You can get out. It's okay.
Well, it's scary, though, isn't it, when you think you might be stuck somewhere? There is a bit of panic that comes from deep within, that fear of being trapped.
I mean, I suppose I did also have the knowledge that I was parked in sort of the middle of a high street on the pavement. If I just made enough noise and banged on the vans, eventually probably someone would alert the authorities. But yeah,
I thought so. Yeah.
When you're in a situation where you know, maybe you've snuck away for a dirty weekend somewhere and no one knows where you are, and then you feel, I'm trapped, no one knows where I am, I don't have my phone on me, and no one's going to find me, then that would be a lot worse.
Going back to the foot, Ben, it is a reminder of how I'm aging. I was actually having to use a walking stick to get around, and you catch yourself, a little reflection of yourself with a walking stick, and it's like a little image of the future. I mean, I think I carry a walking stick very well. I think I'm going to look good with a walking stick. I'd want a really fashionable one.
I'd want one that made me look like a pimp. I'd want a
proper cane.
A black cane, and the handheld bit is a giant diamond. That's what I'd want.
Would you be wearing like a massive sort of fur coat and a big fedora?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just going to carry out your old age as a pimp. That's not going to look good in a Wetherspoons, though. Mind you, no one looks in a Wetherspoons, do they? You can turn up in a Wetherspoons dressed however you want. No one's going to bat an eyelid.
No, and if anyone gives me a funny look, I can smack them with the diamond cane.
I've always had this image of me as an old man in a little pub somewhere. I don't think I'm going to be a daily visitor to a pub, but I want my own little bit of the pub. I want a little space in the corner that's mine, that nobody else sits in. I want my own glass behind the bar. So when I come in, they're already pouring my pint. If anyone comes near me, I can wave my walking stick at them. Leave me alone! Leave me alone! But then I also want to say out loudly after every sip of my beer, oh, lovely drop of stuff.
I must say, mate, that I've heard a few people's idea of their sort of idyllic retirement plans, and having a walking stick and your own reserved seat in a Wetherspoons is depressing one I've ever heard.
It's not a Wetherspoons.
Definitely said Wetherspoons.
No, I didn't. No, I said a little pub somewhere, a little country pub. There's one in Abingdon in Oxfordshire called the Barley Mow. I can imagine that being it, you know, my little local, although it is in the middle of nowhere, so I'd have to get a cab there probably, because I don't think Dana Ride takes you to the pub. So I don't think you can get sort of hospital transportation to the pub.
No, and walking's out of the question with your foot now, isn't it?
Exactly. So unless I get like a little mobility scooter, that'd probably be the best way, wouldn't it? Can you get done for being drunk in charge of I think you probably can, can't you? I won't be getting drunk though. I'll have a couple of pints. That's all I'm going to be having. And the main thing is to shout at young people. That's the main objective of the trip, is the young people come in making noise. Go, we'll be quiet over there. Waving my stick at them.
So you just want to go into it. You don't want to be in a pub in a corner with your little walking stick.
Yeah.
Ruining young people's times.
Yeah. Because they'll be loud. They'll be laughing. They'll be having fun. They've got their whole lives ahead of them. That makes me angry.
It sounds quite nice, but I think you need some company. Would you consider getting a little pet dog or something?
I might have a little dog. Yeah, I might have a little dog.
That sounds nice.
I'd want a dog that could be quite aggressive.
Why?
Well, so that if anyone comes near me, it's always going to be trained that if I raise my walking stick in an aggressive manner, it will start barking around. It's not really an aggressive dog. I've just taught it. You know, like an acting dog. You know, where you can teach them to look angry. Yeah, that's what I'll do. You know, just I don't want them doing any damage, but just to give the message, keep the noise down, leave me alone.
So there's you in your old age in a Wetherspoons with your cane.
Why the Wetherspoon? Why do you keep bringing up the Wetherspoons?
XL bully sat by your side.
Well, they're not. They won't be allowed. Won't be having an XL. I'd like to have a dog that doesn't look aggressive. You know, like maybe like a little Shih Tzu.
Right.
People think it's like really cute, but actually, I've crossbred it with a Doberman.
Oh, the Shipman. That's their famous dog breed.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I call it the Shipman. It's quietly deadly.
Yeah, I think Shipman kind of sums up your retirement perfectly.
It's going to be great, though, isn't it? It's going to be... I'll tell you what, though, the other thing about getting older, mate, my hair is getting greyer by the week. I went and had my hair cut, and it was like it was snowing. It's got to the point where you look at what's coming off, and you think, when I looked in the mirror this morning, there didn't look like there should be that much grey that can come out of the hair. But I'm looking at it every day in the mirror. I think in the next, I'll give it 2 years max, and I'm going to be full on distinguished grey, because I'm not going to dye it. Do you think, I don't think I should dye, because I think once you've already started going grey, and people see that, to then dye it would be foolish.
It's the same thing as if you notice you're starting to lose it, that's the time to put a wig on, not after everyone knows you as being bald and then you slap it on top. That doesn't work either. You have to be ahead of this.
I remember working with someone once who was only in his 20s. And he was, you know, he got to the Krusty the Clown point. Do you know what I mean? And I mean that.
Right.
I don't mean that disrespectfully, but, you know, he got to that point. And I thought he was a lot older. And when he told me how old he was, I did think, oh, what a shame that you've, you know, but he was probably losing it in his teens. And that's when he should, if he was going to do the wig thing, that's when you got to go for it.
I've got to say, cry me a river, really, because I have gone through the gamut of follicle problems. I've been going grey since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
That's when I first started noticing it. And I remember once as a young man complaining to my mum that, oh, fucking hell, I'm 19 and I'm already going grey. And she said, well, you get the greyness from my side of the family and there's baldness on your dad's side of the family.
Okay.
So, you know, you might be going grey and you might be going grey a bit young, but at least you're not going bald. I thought, okay, well, that does make me feel slightly better. And then God decided to step in and say, hold my beer, and gave me alopecia to such an extent where I lost about 95% of my body hair. I was fortunate that I still had eyelashes and an eyebrows.
Yes.
And that took about 4 years for all that to grow back in. So, life is cruel. You can't really... I missed my opportunity of a window for the wig because it all fell out over fucking night. I've always decided from an early age, if I go grey, I'm not going to dye it. If I start to lose it, I would just shave it. So I've spent most of my young life just living with the grey. That's fine. And I embraced the baldness. So I lived like a cue ball. I look like the guy who presented the Crystal Maze.
Oh, Richard O'Brien, yes.
Richard O'Brien, yes. I looked like him for a couple of years of my life, involuntarily. Now I'm about back to normal. Just about. Whatever normal is.
Yeah, well, this is it, though, isn't it? I mean, it's a weird thing, though, because I do think probably, not that I've looked into it that much, but I think wigs are probably sort of way better than these. Do you ever watch, if you ever watch any TV show where they talk to older people who grew up in a time when wigs were pretty shit and they're still wearing really shit wigs? I love those sort of older guys, particularly those that have been in the entertainment world. There's one guy, I don't know who he is, but there's one guy who pops up on all those sort of comedy documentaries, and he's whoever he is now, he's like in about his 90s, and he has got one of the worst wigs that I've ever seen. And you almost want to just, like, if I'd been there at the recording, I'd probably want to sit him down and go, I mean, I get that you don't want to be bored, I completely understand that, but surely the quality of wig that's available now would be far better than what you've got. Because, like, I'm frightened to open a window, because a small breeze, that's going to go flying. Do you know what I mean? It's just plonked on top of the head. You can almost see it slightly askew. It's just not a good look, that. So I always think if I went down the wig route, I'd go for a very high-end wig.
I mean, the good thing about being a wig wearer, especially in England or the UK, is that general politeness will stop most yes. people from pointing it out to your face.
Yes.
However, don't live in delusion that not everyone is mentioning it behind your back, because it's so obvious, it's so noticeable, everyone's going to know, but you can, I suppose, live in ignorant bliss that no one usually will be un-British enough to point it out to your face.
Mm. What about the old hair transplant? I mean, that's something, like, do you remember when Wayne Rooney had it? Because again, like, there comes a point with that where everyone knows, because you had no hair. And then suddenly you've got hair coming back. So, I mean, I think he was always very open and honest about that. I suppose you've got to be if you're going to go down the hair transplant route.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same reason that you can't, if you've got one of those terrible wigs from many years ago, even they're now stuck with it. Like you said, there must be better wigs. Well, yes, there are. But they can't suddenly change overnight, because they'll worry people will notice.
Well, that's true. That is true. If you started off with a bad wig, you can't, because I mean, I always thought it comes up a lot in the on the podcast, but Brucey, you know, if you look back at old footage of Brucey in the 1970s, and the hair was thinning massively, and then in the 80s and sort of 90s, the hair came back, and I was never sure whether it was a really bespoke wig or whether he'd had some sort of early hair transplant. But it, the problem was the hair that he had, the new hair seemed more ginger than what he'd had before.
I mean, it's a good job we can't libel the dead. I'm not sure we can definitively say Brucey wore a rug.
Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, I think he something happened with his hair, though. And I always remember seeing him on the news once talking about something, and he had a baseball cap on. I think it was Paul Merton. Said, oh, that's the day the rug's in the wash, so he has to wear the baseball cap. And it's quite true. Frankie Howard was another one. I mean, his wig was appalling, really, but he could never have changed that wig, could he?
I'm struggling to remember Frankie Howard. I certainly know the name, but let me have a quick Google. By the way, speaking of Google, I have looked it up while we're talking, and the first hair transplant apparently started in 1952. So it is well within possibility that Brucey might have had a hair transplant. And now I've Googled Frankie Howard, and my God, is that a bad wig?
Yeah, he would never want to be seen without his wig, I think. It was one of those things where he would he'd go to great lengths to make sure he was never seen without his wig. But I think after he passed away, I've got a feeling the wig might have been sold. And that would be a thing to own, wouldn't it?
It like, certainly would be. I also want to take umbrage with Ben, do you remember Frankie Howard? He died when I was 4 years old.
Oh, come on, he's a comedy legend. Like, surely you'd know Frankie Howard. You go, oh, no, bitches. Oh, no. You know Frankie Howard is. Oh, no.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah. Fair enough.
The other one was, you again, you won't know this man, Charles Hawtrey. Charles Hawtrey was in a lot of the Carry On movies.
Right. I'm just going to Google this man's name now.
Right. You'd know his face. If you've seen the Carry On movies, very odd man in many ways. And he always used to wear a wig. But there's a...
Died the year I was born, 1988.
Well, yeah, but you know, you recognise his face Googling him. You recognise Charles Hawtrey.
I honestly don't.
Wow, how can you not know these people? I'm going to have to educate you in comedy a bit more here, Ben.
Is it rude of me to suggest he looks fabulous? Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. But there's a terrible photograph of him. Basically, I'm not besmirching his name here. This is all well known. He would use the services of young men.
Would he? I'd never have guessed.
But whilst he had a young man at his house, the house caught fire. And there's a terrible picture of him being rescued by the fireman, sans wig. And I've often seen that photo and thought, what would have worried him more? That his house had burnt down, or that he'd been pictured without the wig? Because I can imagine without the wig. Because I've often thought that if you have a house fire, Ben, and let's hope to God it never happens to anyone we know or us. Do you often have that thought about, would I have time? Because I don't know about you, Ben, but I sleep pretty much just in my pants. Right?
So do I, yeah.
But I'd want to make sure I got some trousers on before I wouldn't want to be in the street in just my pants.
I don't know if this will be a comforting thought to you or a distressing one, but I'd say, in all honesty, if you don't have the 5 seconds requisite to put on some jogging bottoms, it's probably already too late for you to get out of the house.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure the general rule, though, is just get out. Like, you know, like when you were at school and the fire alarm would go off and said, leave your bags, don't take your coats, boys. Do you know what I mean?
You can imagine. Mind you.
I'd have my head teacher's voice in my head as I'm putting on the, leave those trousers, boy. I'd go, not again, sir. Not again. Leave those trousers.
I mean, you better hope your smoke alarm is very sensitive, because with your trench foot or whatever it is you've got wrong with you, it's going to take you about 45 minutes to get out of the house if you need to put your trousers on first. Trev, I had a bit of a realization this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes all the time, you are the main character in your own life?
Yes.
And you can sometimes overestimate maybe how much people think of you, think about you, etc.
Yeah, I suppose you do sometimes, don't you?
I constantly sort of worry about what other people's perception of me is, and it's something that bothers me. Until this week, when I wandered into work, and every day written up on the whiteboard by the managers is a list of what every duty is being done and who's doing it, and there's all your names on the board. And I never need to look at it because I always know I'm doing exactly the same thing as I do every single day. Except this week, I walked in and glanced up at it and I saw my duty number with my first name, and then it said Ben Halmer.
Ben Halmer.
H-A-L-M-A. Now, I've worked there for over 5 years. And I'm not too ashamed to admit, I have a slight ego on me.
Right, yeah.
But to not even know my name after 5 years, that
hurt. Maybe someone new putting up the rota, was it? Was it like a new person who was doing the job and they just heard your name? You know, it can be like across a busy, loud sorting office, I'd imagine is what it is. They're going, oh, it's Ben Halmer. And someone's like, oh, okay. And they've heard is Halmer.
I mean, I get Palmer quite a lot. I get Harper sometimes. But Halmer, you're right. It does sound like someone's overheard it and just taken a guess at it.
Yeah.
But it did sting my ego a little bit. So I told a friend of mine about this blow to my ego. And he said, well, just goes to prove you're just a number, you're replaceable. I thought, oh, well, cheers, that's done my ego the world good, that's really helped. And then as a little jokette, I sent him a little message saying, oh, well, never mind, anyway, how's your day? And then I put his name, but deliberately misspelt his surname for another common surname as a little joke to what I just said. Hilarious, I know.
Oh, the banter you have.
I know, it's off the charts, isn't it? But I touched a nerve by accident, because he got back in touch with me straight away and said, don't call me that.
Oh.
And I said, what? You know I was making a joke, right? And he said, yes, yeah. I know you're making a joke, but the fact is...
some deep-seated trauma.
He said, the fact is, one of his other half's friends has been very kindly sending them a Christmas card and addressed it to this wrong name that I had just called him, because this person hasn't been able to learn for the last 20 years.
Wow.
His actual name. She's been sweet and kind enough to send them Christmas cards for 20 years, but has every year, despite apparently having it pointed out multiple times, she continues to misspell his surname like this, to the point now where I think he started returning the cards and having written on the envelope, not known at this address. which I think is a stroke of genius. So it made me wonder, has, I mean, 20 years, that's hard to beat, but have you ever had a situation where someone consistently gets your name wrong?
I did once. I worked at a radio station. This is nowhere near 20 years, by the way. This lasted weeks. But the radio station was, surprise, surprise, really badly run.
No.
And, and it was on the verge of closing down.
I was going to say, how does this story end? Were you sacked or did they shut down? Because it's either one.
It shut down, and I won't bore you with the whole story, but they ended up owing me a lot of money that I never saw, right? But because basically the owners, the original owners, decided to sell the radio station, and they sold it to this bloke for a pound.
A pound?
Yeah, because it was so much in debt, I think. So the idea was the bloke would take on the debt. It turned out, or so he told us, that he'd been lied to about the amount of the debt. But rather than, you know, face up to it, he just did a runner. He disappeared.
I'm assuming this wasn't part of Global, was it?
No.
It's not Capital FM, this, is it?
So anyway, then one day, right, because we don't know what's happening, we've no idea, we're still turning up, I'm still doing my daily radio show, and then one day I'm doing my show, and this guy turns up, and it's like, I could see through the window that there was a lot of tension, right? So I was thinking, oh, what now? Like, what is going on now? So I went outside, and I discovered very quickly that it was the landlord of the building who turned up to evict us.
Right? Oh.
So I was like, oh, okay, this really is the end. But then the guy, this landlord guy, decided that he would try and maybe step in and save the radio station. So we all sat down with a meeting, did our introductions. And then this is when my name was either forgotten, because the next day...
And this was when there. You were on air.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm saying it every link. I know it's Trev here. You know, and anyway, the next day I go in, he's there, he's making lots of phone calls. And from the office, he goes, hello, Kev. And, and I was like, oh, it's Trev, actually. But anyway, fine. The next day I go in, he goes, hello, Kev. Right. Now, on the third day, I just thought, well, it's gone too far now. I've got to be Kev now the whole way through. And this went on for weeks and weeks, and there was only a few of us left at the end that were still turning up because everyone else had abandoned ship by now. But the rest of them, they were pissing themselves because every time I went out, they went, oh, Kev, how are you doing, Kev? And then the very last day, we had this meeting where he sat me down and he went, now, Kev, it's very laudable that you're coming in every day, but I can't save this radio station on my own. So the thing is, Kev, you've really got to make a decision now whether you you keep coming in or not, because basically I'm not going to be able to pay you. And even then, I couldn't say. So it was never resolved. To him, I will forever be Kev.
So, I mean, that's lovely. Wait, what year was this? Because I'm trying to work out if that beats the record or not, because technically, if that man still thinks your name is Kev...
That's true. This was in 2009, this was.
Oh, so, it doesn't quite win.
No, not yet.
It's close. I mean, it's a good 15 years of someone thinking you're Kev, but I'm not sure you're going to break the record yet.
I did have a really embarrassing moment once. You know when you forget someone's name? And I'd been talking to this guy for ages. It was a friend's party. I've known this guy for years. He's my friend's husband. And he's, bizarrely enough, his name is Kevin.
That makes things more confusing, but okay.
So I've been standing there talking to him. And then, you know, it's like at a party, someone comes and joins you. And then you often have that thing where you end up repeating part of the conversation to the person that's just arrived. And you don't want to bore the other person because they've heard it all before, but you've kind of got to do a little bit of catch up for the person that's just arrived. And I did that terrible thing where I wanted to sort of make it very clear to Kevin that I was aware I'd said all this before, but then his name completely left me, as I said, as I've just been telling, and it was just this silence. It wouldn't come. The name wouldn't come. It had completely gone. And it was the way he just went, Kevin, He was like, oh shit, he says that's not landed well. Like, oh. I couldn't even start it out with any humour. I just knew that basically I'd offended this guy because I couldn't remember his name. But it just gone. You know when that happens? Like, your brain just will not deliver the name you need.
I actually saw a video on TikTok, I think, about this recently. And it's a great little lifesaver to get you out of just this problem that you've been in where you can't remember someone's name. So imagine you and I are talking at a party and I can't remember your name.
Yeah.
And someone else joins us and it's my duty to introduce them to yourself.
Right.
I would say to you, oh, I'm really sorry. Can you just remind me of your name?
Trev. Or Kev. That's it.
So let's role play. Someone has come over and I'm going to introduce them to you.
Right.
Oh, I'd like you to meet, I'm sorry, remind me of your name?
Trev.
Oh, Trev, of course I know your first name's Trev, I meant your surname.
Oh, I see. I'd still be hurt that you didn't know that. I'd be going, this is Ben Hulmer. No, it's a good way. It is a good way out. But I think in my situation, nothing would have. It was just a lost cause. I kept the gap too long because I couldn't think of the name. I should have gone. I mean, it would have sounded unnatural because I don't know him that well. But if I'd said, "Oh, as I was just telling him, you know, matey here," he might have thought, "Well, you've never called me matey before. That's a weird thing." But it would probably have been less embarrassing than me going, "Oh God, what's his name? Oh no!" And it felt like such a long time as well. I'd love to know in reality how long that silence was, but my mind it lasted fucking ages because my brain, it was like a filing cabinet. I often think of my brain like a filing cabinet. And as I've got older, again, this is something that happens as you get older, Ben, is you can't get to the right file quick enough. You know, when you're young, it's like, there it is, Kevin. Done. Whereas now, I mean, I have reached that age sometimes where, like my godchildren, occasionally, you know, when you have to go through all the other people you know before you get to their name, like things that your parents did and grandparents used to do. I thought, I'm never going to get to that. But I'm afraid I'm sort of at that now. You have to sort of think which godchild am I talking about?
That's funny that you think of it like a giant filing cabinet or a sort of Rolodex that you have to flip through. Yes. Because I think of it as the old board game Guess Who.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where I know you from somewhere. So in my mind, I'm sort of shutting down faces and avenues that aren't correct. And I've got one person left and that's sort of by default who I think you must be. But even then, you can't be sure. Because it's called Guess Who.
Yes.
Do you ever do the thing where you actively refuse to Google something to sort of punish your own brain?
Sometimes, but I'm very I get very frustrated at myself. If it's something simple, like someone's name, like an actor's name. Again, I used to be so good with actors' names, but now they're not all there immediately at hand now. But I will pause before I go on IMDb a little bit just to test my brain and think, where have I seen them before? Because that's more it than their name sometimes. What have I seen you in before? That's the thing that drives me mad.
Like, I've been working on one for about 3 or 4 days, and I think the answer in the last 30 seconds has just popped into my mind.
Oh, well, this is a live illustration of exactly what we're talking about.
It is. It was, who was the actor that played Spider-Man? And I know there have been many, and I thought eventually you'll get there. And so for the last 3 days, I've been coming back to this thought going, is it Tony?
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
And I think, it's not. It's Toby.
Yes.
Toby. And in the last 30 seconds, my brain has just gone, Maguire.
Oh, it's lovely when it happens, though, isn't it? It's such a relief when that happens.
It's a mixed bowl of emotions because I'm proud of myself that I didn't just Google it, but now I'm annoyed that it's taken my brain 4 days to process a thought.
Do you do that thing? Sorry, I'm just going to try and remember what I had. See, again, like I can't actually think of this, but I had a thing the other day. I just need to try and remember what it was.
Okay. I mean, this is a sort of real-life example of this happening now, isn't it?
I know. I was trying to think the other day. Again, it was an actress, right? And I couldn't get her name. I sort of had an idea that it began with an S, but I wasn't entirely sure. Do you do that thing where you go through the alphabet?
Yes.
And wait for a letter to sort of ring a bell. So
yes, I've even written down the alphabet and gone through each letter to sort of say, is that right? Is that right? I have done that for many years.
Yes, because I was doing this the other day and I was getting to S. I was going, like in my head, I thought, I'm sure this person's name begins with S. But when I got to S, going through the alphabet, it wasn't ringing the bell. You know, because normally you go through and it's like A, B, C, oh, C, right. It, I don't know what it is, your brain connects, but it wasn't. And I must have spent, I don't know, a good couple of hours racking my brain. And I couldn't Google this person because I couldn't, she wasn't like a really famous person, and I couldn't get the first name or the surname. So I had no idea what I would be Googling, and I couldn't think of anything they'd been in. So I was really struggling to get the name.
Did you eventually get it?
I did, but the weird thing is I can't remember it now. Oh. It's completely, it's completely gone.
Because now you've annoyed me even more, because now I want to try and work out who it is and you can't help.
Isn't that annoying? Now I can't actually remember who that person was. That's fucking annoying. I hate getting older, Ben. It's just horrible. Your brain does this stuff to you.
As depressing as it is, Father Time is undefeated.
Now, Ben, as I'm sure you know, I'm a bit of a history buff. I like history documentaries, and this week I was reading just some little nuggets from history, and I want to share with you just a few of some of the weirdest things that have been either considered or that have happened in history.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, this is the first one. I'll tell you why this got my attention, because I just saw the headline, "We wanted to nuke the moon."
I'm intrigued.
And I thought, you know, what's this? And this is genuinely true. Genuinely true, this. I'm assuming this is going back towards the sort of Cold War era, sort of 60s, where the Americans considered sending a nuclear missile towards the moon.
For what possible purpose?
The only reason would have been a show of strength, presumably to the Soviet Union, that they had the power, the necessary power, to annihilate the Soviet Union should it come to it. And they thought the best way to display this military might would be to send a nuclear weapon towards the moon. Had they gone through with it, I mean, luckily, they decided to drop the idea.
Yes.
And go and decide to do the moon landings instead, which I think was probably a better option. I mean, it still meant sending basically a massive missile towards the moon, but not a nuclear one, and not one that could have had dire consequences for the future of the Earth. I mean, when you think the moon has, you know, such a impact on the Earth's tides and what have you, that it might have been quite detrimental.
Yes, it would have done all sorts of damage, like, as you say, to the tides. To me, though, it's just so cringy that when when this sort of flexing is going on between countries, this pissing contest.
But I think this is the thing with, presumably this would have been politicians coming up with this idea, and these are the sort of people that end up in power with very little common sense, frankly. You know, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. You look at the people in politics at the moment all around the world, you know, there are very few people you think, God, this is a sane, normal person in charge.
I'm just trying to think now, you're talking about nuking the moon. I'm trying to think, which human on Earth, if legacy is important to you, and yeah, I'm not particularly bothered about legacy, I'd like to be remembered as someone half decent. That'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
But there must be someone out there with the most absolutely crazy legacy that makes them the most interesting person on Earth. And I think if they had done that, to go down in history, in the history books, as the man who broke the moon, I mean, that would take some beating, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, I mean, it certainly would, you know, and for no real reason. You know, like recently they crashed a satellite or whatever it was into a meteor to see whether they could knock it off course. And it appears that it worked. And it was sort of a dry run to see that if there
wasn't
was
that the plot to Armageddon?
Well, no, but they recently did it for real because they want to find out whether should humans ever be faced with the reality of a massive meteor heading towards the Earth again, like the dinosaurs faced, that would wipe out humanity. Could we knock it off course? And that's something that, so I mean, you could say, well, yes, that would, like, if there was a massive meteor the size of the moon hurtling towards Earth, and our only chance of survival would be to stick a nuclear warhead and shove it up there, sure, fill your boots, go for it. But just to say, it's like flex your muscles and blow up half the moon, fucking moronic. It's idiotic. It's extraordinary. But I suppose, you know, a lot of, like, when you look at Oppenheimer, you know, the man who, the father of the nuclear bomb, I mean, he I think lived most of his life following that with huge guilt about the whole thing because of the horror of it, the absolute horror of it.
You see, I am now going to make it my life's work that I am going to be the one who puts Oppenheimer's nuclear bomb on the moon so that I will go down in history as Oppenheimer.
Right, here's another one. This one rings a bell with me, and I've got a feeling that I learnt this fact originally from you.
Oh, well, this will be an interesting test of my memory.
Well, yes, because we used to do a thing on the radio called Beat the Cheat, where we were given a subject and we had to present each other with five facts. And some of them would be true, some of them false, and the other person had to work out which was true and which was false. And this one rings a bell that you did this to me, and I couldn't believe this when you told me.
Is there any way you can set it up as a question to me to sort of check my memory?
Yeah, well, okay, well, I'll say, can you tell me what animals the military might use or have in their ranks?
Oh my word, I know geese sometimes are used to patrol prisons.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing. It's because it takes a lot of effort to train guard dogs to patrol the prisons. Geese, however, are famously bastards and yes, territorial. Yes. And if they see you, they will start honking, alerting everyone else. So there are some prisons in the world which use guard geese.
I have just found that, by the way. It's a prison in Brazil. They've got honking birds dubbed geese agents.
There you go.
And they police a green space between the inside fence and the main outer wall. I mean, it's not a bad idea, that. It's amazing how animals can be. I mean, it's like rats are used to sniff out landmines, aren't they?
Yes. Landmine rats is a good one. In answer to your question, it's got to be something ridiculous. So it's got to be like cows or something.
No, it's not cows. I think dolphins have been used, haven't they?
Dolphins have been used in war. But no, I can't remember the original facts about what animal was used in wars.
Okay, well, this was a bear. A bear that was adopted as a cub by some Polish soldiers during World War II. And then they kept the bear with them throughout the whole of the war. It was called Wojtek. And it helped them carry ammunition crates to the soldiers at one of the big battles. It would help carry equipment as they went. And I would have thought, like, a bear in a war situation wouldn't be the best. Like, they're famously... All right, it wasn't a grizzly. Well, it was a Syrian brown bear. Would that be a grizzly, or is that the black bear, the grizzly?
I don't know, but I do agree with you. It's an unnecessary risk. It's more likely to turn on you than a disgruntled soldier, I suppose.
Yeah, what I'm saying is they're probably like, mind you, if it's been with them all that time from a cub, it'll probably be used to the noises of war. But I would just think a bear, once it reaches full size, is not going to be something you need as an extra thing in a war zone. But they did. There we go. It would walk around with them. It would carry ammunition. Extraordinary, that.
It is extraordinary. It does seem like an unnecessary risk, but fine. I'm happy with that.
You'll be pleased to know, though, that Wojtek survived the war and then spent the rest of his life in Edinburgh Zoo. So he had all that freedom of being out in the war that they shoved him in a zoo.
Brilliant.
Okay, my next one. This is quite a famous one, but I just think this is extraordinary. Henry I. Do you know much about Henry I?
I'm afraid I don't.
But the most famous thing, really, about Henry I is how he met his end. Apparently, he basically overindulged on lampreys.
I don't even know what lampreys are.
Well, a lamprey is a sort of eel-like creature, and they have the most extraordinary mouth. I want you to Google a lamprey.
What was he doing with this lamprey exactly?
He was just eating them.
Right.
And he ate a lot of them, and they do have a toxin in them, so you shouldn't have too many of them. And he ate so many that he was basically poisoned by the lampreys and died in great pain after several days.
They look absolutely horrible.
They're sort of like an alien type thing, aren't they? They've sort of got a round toothed mouth, haven't they?
Yes, I'm worried that he wasn't. Is this officially how he died, or was he caught using it as some sort of. Shall I abort
some sort
this
of what? Yes, I think I don't know where you're going in it.
I'm going to leave that train of thought where it is. Use your imaginations. The word fleshlight was running through my head, but we'll leave it there.
Right. I mean, I don't know if it would kill you. It might it might lop something off, but... Right, here's the last one. Here's the last one. You know the phrase, run around like a headless chicken?
Yes. Is this about Marty?
Mike.
Oh, is it
getting the name wrong. How many years have you been calling him Marty?
I don't know.
Oh, it makes
Miracle Mike, is it? Or something like that? Or am I thinking of Marvelous Mike? I've got sex on the brain now.
I just known him as Mike the Headless Chicken.
Magic Mick.
Put a dollar in its feathers. So this was you know, I mean, I always thought it was a bit of a myth that a chicken would run round once you chopped his head off. You know, you hear that from such a young age, don't you? You know,
yes.
And you sort of have this feeling that they all run around once they've if a farmer chops their head off, that they all run around. But I don't think that's the case. But this one chicken, Mike the Headless Chicken, this was back in 1945. A farmer was taking out his chickens and cutting their heads off, and he went to cut Mike's head off, but Mike survived. Now, how long did Mike survive without a head?
It's a surprisingly long time. I think he had to feed it with like a pipette sort of down the neck hole, and I think it lasted up to about 6 months, didn't it?
2 years.
2 years. Wow.
2 years. Basically, apparently, the chicken's brain is at the back of the head, and he basically managed to chop all the head off apart from the bit, so the brain wasn't touched. So Mike was
he drunk? How bad do you have to be at decapitating chickens that you managed to lop off just the face?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how many he was doing in one go.
I'd go for the neck.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a farmer. He was taking a lot out. You know what it's like when, you know, when you're hammering nails into something, you know, you go bang, bang, but then like one in seven, you'll miss. Do you know what I mean? A similar thing, probably. He was just going whack, whack, whack. Oh, shit. But of course, it became a wonderful thing for the farmer because he took Mike round and showed him off. People would pay to come and see Mike then his chicken running around.
I wonder, so the brain was still intact. So it is. That would today just be considered animal cruelty, wouldn't it? You'd be arrested.
Of course it would. I mean, you could say luckily for Mike. But so basically, he missed most of the brain when he cut the head off. And then a blood clot stopped the chicken from bleeding to death, because otherwise it would just have bled to death. So thank goodness for a blood clot. But I mean, his eyes had gone, wouldn't be able to see anything. Do you think it would have been aware that it hadn't got a head? Do you think it would still instinctively go to peck something? But
well, presumably no, because presumably its eyes were gone, so it couldn't see if there was anything worth pecking.
But I mean, even if a chicken is blind, it would still peck, wouldn't it? Its instinct would be to peck for food. And you just wonder whether the headless chicken would still move in that, you know, way.
Which funny would, enough, I mean, Trev, it's not something I've not given that much thought. Would a blind headless chicken still peck?
Well, why not? It's a big question that needs answers.
I'm just lost for words. I don't know. You win.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. Got anything for us this week, Ben?
I do. They're both films, and... Okay. It is the time of year for horror and gore, so if you don't like that sort of stuff, you're going to hate these two recommendations.
Okay.
The first one is Platform 2.
Oh, now this has been on my list to watch because I loved the first film.
Yes.
But I did find it incredibly disturbing, and I have been holding off on the second just because I saw the trailer and I thought, I need to be in a good frame of mind. I need to be in the right space for this film.
I don't know if it's worth me trying to describe the plot. I would recommend, if you like concept horror films, this will be up your alley. You probably need to have seen the original Platform before you see Platform 2. Mm. And even if you've done all of that, Platform 2 is possibly the most confusing film I've ever seen.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, but I then had to watch a YouTube video afterwards explaining what the fuck I'd just seen.
Okay, it's one of those.
It's one of those. I loved it. Give it a watch, but it will certainly not be for everyone.
It's in Spanish as well. Is it a Spanish film?
You have options. It's on Netflix, and you can watch it with the English subtitles, with the original Spanish. You can watch it with Spanish, just plain Spanish, no subtitles, or do what I did and watch it with the English dubbing.
Oh, I can't do the dubbing.
Oh,
I can't do dubbed films, really. It drives me mad that the mouth isn't doing what the sound is doing. It distracts me.
It did jar on me a little bit as well, because I will say that theatrical nature, the impact of what the face was doing, the words weren't quite as impactful. It sounded like it wasn't delivering enough as the face was. So it was a bit all round annoying. But no, the film, very good, but prepare to be confused. The second film, I had no intention of watching until in the middle of the week, a colleague of mine came up to me and said, "Ben, do you like violence?" And, and at one point I thought, are we going to have a fight? I said, "In films?" And I went, "Oh yeah, yeah, I don't mind." And then he thrust into my hand a DVD called Sisu, and I had no idea what it was. It's Certificate 15. I'll give you a brief summary. Set during the Lapland War between Finland and Nazi Germany, a Finnish army commando turned gold prospector attempts to defend himself from being robbed by murderous Nazis. So Nazis steal this man's gold.
Right.
And then it's like one of those preposterous one-man army type stories where he goes to steal back his gold from the Nazis. And it is ridiculous and it's absurdly violent, but quite enjoyable.
Okay, and is this is it based on a true story? Because obviously the Nazis stole a lot of gold. They were bad, those Nazis.
Yeah, I did, for a bit of a laugh, I turned to Mrs. Ben during the middle of watching it and said, "You know, this is starting to make the Nazis look quite bad, in my opinion." But no, I don't know if it's based on true reality. I doubt it, because this man was like a one-man demolition crew.
Okay.
But it's very good to watch. The only problem is it's nowhere on any streaming service that you might already have. I think you might need to... It's on Amazon Prime, but you might need to shell out £6 to watch it.
Okay. And can you spell it? Sisu?
S-I-S-U.
Oh, right. Okay. As easy as that.
Brilliant. So, what have you got?
I've got two things, both of them documentaries this week. First of all, on Sky Documentaries at the moment, it's a really interesting documentary about Gary Coleman. Now, again, you probably haven't got a clue who Gary Coleman is.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Yay, you do know. I thought I wasn't born. But yes, obviously very famous for being in Different Strokes, a child actor. You know, such a sad life in the end, really. Like, you just wanted to give the guy a hug. Do you know what I mean? He's like so troubled in so many ways. And I don't know what to believe from the documentary. There are stories of people who exploited him, and even the end of his life, there were questions raised, and having watched it I'm still not entirely sure of what I think the truth of it all was. But all you get from it is, yes, he had his problems, and yes, he made mistakes and did stupid things and got himself into trouble, but I think he was just a nice man just trying to get through life with lots of people taking the piss. Everyone took from him, like, you know, all the money he earned, people just took from him. And you just think, oh, it's a fascinating documentary. Well,
sounds quite sad.
It is. I did feel quite low after watching it. I did have to watch something to cheer me up. The other documentary I'm going to recommend is on Netflix called Sweet Bobby, My Catfish Nightmare.
Oh, I've seen this advertised. It looks really interesting.
It's fascinating. Apparently, this came from a podcast originally, so I haven't heard the podcast. It's unbelievable. We're talking years long. Years long. I think maybe 9 years. And an online relationship that was loaded with lies and manipulation. I'm not going to say too much because I'm not going to give anything away, but it is jaw-dropping. And the victim, there's more than one victim, but the main victim, again, I just wanted to give her a hug. I just wanted to hug people this week.
This is supposed to be recommendations, not sympathy corner.
I think because I've had the gout this week, Ben, I've just been looking for...
Do you need a hug? I can come and give you a hug if you want.
I think that's what I need, mate. I'm stuck up the stairs. Come and give me a hug. Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trevor Millen X, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.